This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill. Today I wanted to start out by thanking Big Ed, who is in the control room. Sometimes I run out of time and don't get to tell him how much I appreciate his calm presence. How are you today, Ed?
I'm very good, but it's only Tuesday.
Tell me, Ed, have you ever thought of writing a book?
I've done a lot, and I don't read a lot of books, which is bad, but, I was part of a wonderful business for 17 years that catered to a lot of people, and we saw a lot of faces, and somebody said there should have been a mini-series made out of it.
Well?
Like a Cheers.
So why don't, you have to get busy, and in your spare time, when you have a minute, start typing it up. It is such a joy to get it down on paper, and you'll be amazed.
If I could just find the spare time, I would jot it down, definitely.
Well, I bet you have some interesting stories that you could tell.
I do.
Well, it's an idea, because yesterday I got an email from a woman who had just completed her book yesterday morning, and she was so happy, and so she was going to celebrate by taking the rest of the day off and go to the beach, and she's a homeschool mom with five kids, and in between, she finds time to write, I think this is maybe her sixth or seventh book, and I really don't know. She must be like a little bundle of energy, because I think she could stick her finger in a Tesla and charge it up, because she just writes. And it's as I homeschooled two boys, and that was quite a time-consuming thing. I can't even imagine having five kids to homeschool. So it's something, and you have to find some time and write down about some of your adventures. I'm sure it would be fun. And woman I was talking about, her name is Todra Candle, and not only is she a writer and a homeschool mom, she's also one of the organizers behind the Indie Book Fest in Orlando that's coming up at the end of July and first week of August. It's all of these writing events are really exciting, and over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about this event particularly, because whether you are a reader or a writer, these events really can inspire you. For readers, it's a lot of fun to meet your authors, favorite authors, and to discover new ones. One of the nice things about this Indie Book Fest is that they have a Reader's Talk Back panel. So you can win a spot to be on the panel, and that will give you the opportunity to talk to the authors, to tell them what type of books you're looking for, to get more in-depth information. And it's just a fun event. The audience gets to see you and find out what you're interested in. So it's a possibility for you to get into this panel. You just have to go to Todra Candle's webpage. And it's a beautiful name. It's Todra, Tawdra. And when you type that in, her webpage will come up, and you can sign up, and perhaps you could win a place on this panel. The Book Fest is going to be in Orlando from July 31st to August 2nd at the Carib Royal Resort. And there are going to be over 50 authors, and some of them come from all parts of the country. There's writers from California and Texas and Michigan, and it's really going to be a fun event. So for readers, it's a wonderful time. You just have so much fun. There are parties and events that you can go to. And then for writers, there are workshops that you can attend. And each of the writers there will be talking about some particular aspect of writing. And what you'll find is that they inspire you. And Ed, if you go to, now this one, I think is has a lot of just independent writers. But you go to one of these events and you'll be able to talk to people, get to find out how they got started and where they managed to find that extra maybe 30 minutes a day. Some of them work just 30 minutes a day, but at the end of a year, they have a book. I met one woman who has been doing that now for maybe 6 or 7 years, and she has 6 or 7 books, and she's only can work. She works for like the hour before her boss comes into work. She gets to work an hour early, and that's when she writes. And so it's amazing what you can do. And this is the fun part about working in visiting one of these events is you become part of a community of writers, and you help each other. They are very generous with each other, and they form writing groups so that they exchange their books and help sort of a self-editing kind of program. Because nowadays, if you're not working with a big publishing house, it's difficult to have somebody edit your book. But by working together in a community of writers, this is what happens, and it's a wonderful thing. And Saul Bellow, who was a Nobel Prize-winning novelist, believed that writers should be beacons for civilization and awaken it from intellectual laziness. So that's why you should get out there and try to write. For more information about this book fest, you go to the www.indiebookfest.com, and you can find out about how you can get involved. Now, speaking of Saul Bellow, my guest at the bottom of the hour is Bina Kemblani, who was Saul Bellow's editor for 30 years before his death in 2005. Miss Kemblani is on a book tour to celebrate Bellow's 100th birthday and will tell us why this Nobel Prize-winning author is so relevant in today's market. But first, we're going to learn a new word. I think everyone should learn at least one new word a week, and this one is particularly appropriate for when we are talking about Saul Bellow. And to learn this word, I always like to associate words and music. And so we're going to listen to one of my very favorite Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Figaro, 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 Figaro. Figaro, son qua. Figaro, son qua. Figaro qua, Figaro la. Figaro qua, Figaro la. Figaro so, Figaro giù. Figaro so, Figaro giù. Quanto prontissimo, come il fulmine, sono il d'accordo della città, della città, della città, della città, della città.
And the word we're going to learn today is picaresque. It, when you see this word, at first you don't know what it means. It's spelled, just imagine it in your mind, P-I-C-A-R-E-S-Q-U-E, picaresque. It looks, at first when you look at it, you think, oh, it has something to do with pictures. But in fact, it comes from a Spanish word that rhymes with Figaro. It's picaro. Now, picaro in Spanish is a rogue or a vagabond. And although they say that Mozart made up the name Figaro for his opera, I think it highly possible that he had thought or had heard about the word picaro, because his barber in the opera is a bit of a rogue. So it's a word that is very interesting, picaresque. It's a new word for most people. And it is whenever they are writing about Saul Bellow, who won the Nobel Prize and about every other writing prize that you can think of, they will always say his picaresque heroes. And so it just means a sort of a roguish heroes and generally something humorous. They're not bad guys, they're sort of a funny thugs, if you might call them that. But it's an interesting word, and I thought I would use it today because Miss Kemblani might use it, and then, you know, I At least now we all know what it means, and it's a great word. So next time you hear Figaro, Figaro, think Picaro, Picaro, and you now know a new word. Now, last week I had on my program Sally Lloyd-Jones, who wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible. As I didn't have time to play the audio version, and there's a beautiful deluxe edition of her book, which includes this audio version. And the audio version is read by David Suchet. He's the actor who has portrayed Hercule Poirot for the past 20 years. And his reading of her book is so beautifully done that I want to play just a little bit of it today so that you can hear his voice, and I hope it will inspire you to go out and buy it. And let's hear it. David Suchet's reading.
Moses and God's people in Egypt and into the wilderness. They didn't know the way. But God knew the way, and he would show them. I will bring you to a new home, a special land, God promised them. I will look after you. I am with you. God sent a big cloud for them to follow, a pillar of smoke stretching up into the sky. It moved in front of them as they walked and shaded them from the blazing heat of the day. And when it was time to rest, it stopped. All through the cold desert nights, it kept them warm, glowing like a fire. God led his people through the desert to the edge of a great sea. They were just wondering how to cross it when suddenly they heard a terrible thundering and pounding. It sounded almost like horses' hooves. They shaded their eyes to look back and screamed. It was! Pharaoh and his army were coming to get them. Pharaoh had changed his mind again. Get my slaves back! He screeched and charged out into the desert after them with 600 of his fastest horsemen and every single chariot in Egypt. What were God's people going to do?
Well, I think this reading is so beautiful. It's touching, and it will be an inspiration to at any age. I was reading some stories that were written, or some letters that were written to Sally Lloyd-Jones from teenagers who had gotten the audio version and just enjoyed listening to them on their with their earphones, and they just enjoy listening to the stories. And as Sally wrote, you know, that every story whispers his name. Somehow it has reached beyond the audience that she had originally expected. And I think this is a perfect gift to give to anyone. So think about buying this wonderful book, the deluxe edition of the Jesus Storybook Bible with the audio version. I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to Patsy and Joy on Paper on WTAN 1340, Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
Hello, I'm Art Steele. For decades, I was a television and radio news anchor. Even so, most people remember me as a guy whose parachutes failed to open. I obviously survived, and I'm returning to my roots with the Art Steele Hour on three stations and nationally on the internet at www.tantalk1340.com. My co-host is Florida board-certified elder law attorney Laurie O. Hall. It all starts Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're looking forward to talking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back. We're waiting for Bina Kamlani to join us. She's going to talk about Saul Bellow, whose 100th birthday it is this month. Meanwhile, I want to remind you that if you are going to Paris, you must visit Au Chateau, which is the best wine tasting bar in Paris. I found an email the other day from Olivier Magny, who was a guest a few weeks ago. He wrote the wonderful book, Stuff Parisians Like, and he is the founder of Au Chateau, and he wanted to remind all my listeners that when they visit Paris, they should come and see him, and he'll give them a free glass of wine and just tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you. And also, some of my other previous guests have been contacting me. I was very happy to hear from Doug Brunt that his book, The Means, has just come out in paper book. And as you know, he was a guest about a month ago. He's Megyn Kelly's husband. And his book about two presidential candidates is particularly timely. He's had access to the wheelers and dealers in Washington politics for a number of years. And so he has a real inside depth knowledge about what's going on over there. And it's his book, The Means, is really a fun read. It's not a very long book. It's not a 600-page book, so it's a perfect book to take to the beach, and it's a nice way to get away. You're still in presidential politics, but you're not listening to the same thing over and over every night on the news. So I think it would be a great book to buy. It's available on Amazon, and just go ahead and go to and get that book. And while you're there, if you're not interested in politics, do get one of Eloisa James's books, one of her Nights with a Duke. She has all of these wonderful books, sort of real historical romance books that are lots of fun to read. So go ahead and get one of those books. Ed, has she called in yet? Not yet? Okay, so we're just going to talk a little bit. Maybe I'll start by talking a little bit about about Saul Bellow. He is, you know, regarded as the most cherished and important authors, and Penguin Classics is doing this this retrospective of all his works and trying to bring his books forward so that people will remember his great contributions to literature. It's not everyone who has can write a book like him. And I know Ms. Kamalani will be able to tell us more about it. His books are not for everyone. I will say that. You know, they're not easy books, but they are challenging. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to take a book upon yourself that opens up a sort of a new vision. And if you're going to do that, this is, if you want a challenge, and it's his books are a lot of, he's very humorous and at the same time very cutting edge. So I'm anxious to hear from Ms. Kamalani about her many years of working with Saul Bellow. He's from Chicago. I don't think we'll have too much time to talk to about his background, so I just wanted to mention that he was living in Chicago and was considered one of the Chicago writers of that era of the 40s, or the early 40s and 50s. And his books are among the most read books at that time, certainly in universities, and his influence on many, many writers is apparent when they are talking about their works. So many famous writers today, although their books aren't perhaps quite as serious as Herzog's, as Saul Bellow's book, like Herzog, which is one of his most famous books, still his influence has lived on. We're going to take another quick break because I don't want to break while Ms. Kamalani's on. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to visit the Silver Queen, the premier location in the Tampa Bay area for gifts for all occasions. At the Silver Queen, you'll find the perfect gift for the queen in your life. From elegant earrings and jewelry bags, beautiful photo frames that you won't find in the mall. So stop by the Silver Queen, located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Is there a wedding in your future? Then the Silver Queen is the place to go. They have an amazing selection of engagement and wedding rings, and their bridal registry will ensure that you receive gifts that you will treasure for a lifetime. How about a birthday? You must check out their musical Silver Plate Birthday Cupcake. It is the kind of gift that will be used year after year. It's just $40. It is the perfect gift for a baby's first birthday. Check out their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. Remember, the Silver Queen, 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. It is the store with the beautiful dome.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with Bina Kamlani, Saul Bellow's editor for 30 years. Hi, Bina.
Not for 30 years, but for a long time, yes. Hello, Patsy. How nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to be talking to you. Well, not for 30 years, but when did you meet him?
Well, I met him a good deal later than I actually had been working with him. I started in 89, although that was mostly through his copy editor, who was a dear friend of mine. And then in later years, especially after she died, we worked together, but then after she died, I took over full responsibilities for his work. So it was over a continuum. It began in 1989 and then until his death in 2005.
Well, it must have been exciting for you because I understand that you read his one of his most famous books, Herzog, when you were quite young.
Yes. How did you come to know that?
Oh, the mysteries of life.
You have your ways and means, yes, okay. I did, actually. Yes, I read him when I was 8, and in fact, I wrote him a letter, which of course, never got to him. And then it was much, much later, when I was sitting across from him at the table, and we were working together, that I told him about it, and he was absolutely incredulous.
Well, you know, most girls at that age are reading Nancy Drew books, so you must have been quite a bright child.
Oh, well, we just had books on the shelves, and we didn't have television because it was such awful television. Nobody bothered to watch it, so we read, you know, as a result, and reading was our entertainment and everything. Zane Grey, you know, Georgette Heyer, Regency romances, everything. So, but my uncle gave me a Herzog and said, read this. It'll make you a better person or something. I don't know what he said, but something to that effect. And I did. And
you wrote a fan letter at that age. I mean, now
I wrote a fan letter, which never got to him,
well,
yes.
most girls would have been writing fan letters to Michael Jackson, but it's quite amusing. Well,
yes.
I grew up in northern Michigan, and we didn't have television until quite late. We were late bloomers up there, which was good because we also read a great deal in those days.
So you know what this is like. Reading was your television. I know it sounds odd to say that, but it was.
Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. I heard
yes,
a click. I heard a click and it scared me. Oh, good.
No. I'm very much here.
Okay. Well, let's talk. When you said that you were friends with the copy editor. Now, not everybody knows that the difference between a copy editor and a line editor. You were more of a line editor, correct?
Yes.
Exactly. Can you explain the difference?
A copy editor is very aware of inconsistencies in the work. I'm so sorry. I don't know what that is. Inconsistencies in the work, and punctuation, repetitions. Sometimes there's a fine line between line editing and copy editing, but line editing can go into larger questions such as, you know, this paragraph is so similar to something much earlier. And of course, with the editing I do now, it's very different. You know, it's let's take this chapter out because it's not needed, or it stops the narrative flow, or you know. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is this very fine line between line editing and copy editing sometimes, where a line editor's attunement is for different things than a copy editor's. And sometimes they come together. You know, it's very hard to separate this. But they are two different functions, yes. A copy editor's focus is on, you know, can be as detailed as should this be a colon or should it be an M dash? Do we need to separate this with semicolons or commas? Should this be capitalized? Should this be hyphenated? What does Webster say to do? What does, you know, Chicago say to do? And then things like, 5 pages earlier, you said that, you know, her eyes were blue and now they're brown. Or, you know, driving a Subaru and now it's a Honda. So there are all kinds of things like that. But then there are other issues as well, such as I say, you know, repetitions and.
Well, with Saul Bellow, you were more in the development type of editing, weren't you? Did you made suggestions and
I was actually a very good listener. That is the best way to describe it. He trusted me to hear his words and to watch out for. That meant knowing the book that we were working on very intimately, so that there were no repetitions and there were, you know, that perhaps a paragraph needed to be broken up or, you know, things like that. Pauses. Yes, it was dealing with. I mean, Bellow was a consummate professional. He was. That's the wrong way to describe it. He was a magician. He homed in on passages that weren't working, and you knew that from the accelerated breathing, from the deeply furrowed brow, that he was considering all his options. He would try them out loud. Let's try this. Let's try that. And then he himself would know when he'd hit the home run. You know, he'd read you out the passage that seemed to him what he wanted to say, but he'd found it and he knew it. You know, so I think that was my function. But of course, I also did the copy editing. I also, you know. Kept very close track of all these, anything that seemed repetitive. Yes.
So you'd go up to Vermont. You'd go over to Vermont and meet with him.
Yes, and to Boston, mm-hmm. and live close by, and then meet him every morning. His routine began early at 9:30. He was there. You know, 9 or 9:30, on his second or third cup of coffee, and I would come in, and we would get to work immediately, and work without interruption until lunch, when we would take a break, have a quick lunch, but a fun lunch. It was always fun. There was always a lot of laughter, letting off of steam. It was great. And then we would go back to work and work sometimes straight through until dinner. And then, you know, sometimes even after dinner, depending on how the day had gone.
So what of which of his books is your favorite? Is that putting you in a spot?
It's a little difficult to answer that because each book has some incredible nugget of understanding of the human condition that makes it special. You know, with most books, you write down a passage or two to record in your journal or whatever. With Bellow, every book has so many, you know, post-its sticking out that it's impossible for me to say this, not that. You know, I can't eliminate. They all have something so Bellow in it. Of course, you know,
well, there's something.
Say you, that, but.
You know, in his writing, sometimes it seems so simple, so easy to understand, and his humor is. And wit comes through, and then of course, what makes his books difficult sometimes for new readers is his many references to all the books that he read. I think how do you find it? Is it for contemporary readers that you're talking to? Are they finding it difficult to read his books? In light of the fact that we don't have quite the education in colleges that we used to have?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think here's the situation. If you read to know more, either about life or about, you know, the intellectual world or whatever it is that you're reading for, you're reading to feed a curiosity or you're reading for entertainment. If you're reading for entertainment, then you're asking for a different kind of book. I think with Bellow, what you get is much deeper questioning of the eternal questions in life, the eternal issues in life. You know, why are we here? What are we doing here? How do we behave with one another? You know, what do we want from one another? What makes us excited? What are our deepest desires? What happens when you can't meet them? You know, these are the questions that one hopes every novelist asks. But I think Bellow asks them at a deeper level than most. So I think there's that. But there's also his deep knowledge of what is common to us all. He grew up, you know, in not exactly a swanky part of Chicago, and I think he saw life at a grassroots level. He really saw it, you know, down there. And that never left him. You know, as he said, the worst fear I have as a writer is that of losing my feeling for the common life, which is, as every good writer knows or should know, anything but common, you know? And that's where he came from. So I think that, combined with these deeper questions that he's asking, combined with his vast trove of knowledge, intellectual, psychological, you know, he had a very deep understanding of things. And I don't know why that should deter people. For someone like me, it feeds my curiosity. If I don't know about it, if I don't know exactly what Socrates said, I would want to find out. I would go back and read Socrates. So, but he would have been the inspiration for me to do that. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, no, exactly. I agree. I think that even if you haven't read all the books that he's read or that he references in his writing, It does sometimes, and it's wonderful. I think the lovely thing about the internet is that you can, if he mentions something, you can stop and you can actually do research it, you know. And
exactly,
and I think that's
exactly
that's opened up a way to get into some of this, you know, the more intellectual type of fiction. Because before, you could read something and you say, "Well, I haven't done that. I didn't study that in school." Well, of course, nowadays, nobody seems to study anything in school. But So it's great that you can just pop into the internet and look at it. Now, he lived long enough to see the internet, and so he died in 2005, right?
Five.
So was he on the internet at all at that point?
No, he was getting a little old
for that. I'm just wondering what he would think about doing Facebook.
I think he'd go with the flow. I think he'd roll with it. He was much more adaptable than people imagine. You know, I think he found certain things intriguing. I remember telling him once about how at Heathrow Airport they now had a way of photographing the iris of your eyes, so that you know when you walk through, you would become instantly recognizable. You know, and he was at first puzzled, and then he was completely delighted by it. Delighted, you know. He laughed and laughed, and it was just such an intriguing idea that you arrive at an airport and your eye becomes your visa, almost, you know, to go through.
Well, so then he would be great on, you know, nowadays every writer is told, well, you have to have a platform, and which involves Facebook and of course Twitter and all of this. So it's nice to know that he would go exactly as you said, go with the flow. Tell it. It's funny to think of him on Twitter, but he might get into it. Really, I can see him. I can see him sending off some really interesting tweets to people.
I think that's a bit of a stretch. Twitter? No, I don't think so. But Facebook, maybe.
So, tell me, how many of his five wives did you meet? Any of were they still around when?
Only the last one, Janice Friedman, who is an absolutely amazing, wonderful woman, you know, they were extremely happy together. So,
did he ever talk about all his marriages?
Not really, no. I mean, you know, for us it was the work, and my time there was limited, and we always had so much to get through. You know, I had to be back at work, and there were other things that needed my... So, you know, even though I could spend quite a bit of time, it, you know, the time was...
It flew by.
Yes, and it was required for going through sometimes, you know, things over and over again. So we really concentrated on that.
Now, when you were working with him, tell us a few, you know, stories that really bring him to life, because this is exactly like what you talked about with the iris thing. I think it helps readers to humanize a writer. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this program, to bring writers on, and it's funny the stories that we hear and that just, you know, make people interested in reading about works by a writer.
You know, there is so many so many incredible things that I suppose one that you might enjoy is I'm trying to think of something that I suppose fixing lunch together, that was quite an interesting thing. You know, we would usually just have a piece of salmon with a piece of toast and a cookie and some tea and talk about anything under the sun. You know, it could be the trees outside, it could be a joke or two. I remember once driving to Vermont, we had to pick something up, and I drove, and I'm a very slow driver, and he kept saying, "Oh God, Peter, can you please, you know, somehow, let me drive? And I said, no, I'm going to drive. And I kept getting into these deep grooves and, you know, and thinking, oh, no, I've hit another one of these. And, you know, I could see that my driving skills were completely falling out, you know. So it's very hard to home in on any one particular thing. He was, you know, he was, everyday life had its, there was this beautiful pond where we would all go and watch the frogs at play. He delighted in so many things, you know.
Well, tell me, why aren't we interviewing you about the book that you've written about him? You haven't sat down yourself?
No, I haven't written a book about him.
Well, a book about all of the people that you... I know that you've worked with so many people. You haven't written a book yet?
No, I haven't. But I am working on my own novel.
Okay.
I definitely think that... that, you know, these experiences have been wonderful. I've been very fortunate to work with so many incredible writers.
Well, that's what I'm always doing, is encouraging people to write down. I was just talking to Ed, to Ed in the control room and trying to convince him to write a book. So now I've got to convince you. That's really great. Here I'm talking to one of the most famous editors in the world, and I have to encourage you to sit down and write a book already. I mean, yesterday I was talking to a woman who she emailed me that she had just completed her seventh book. Now she's homeschooling five kids, so I figure if she could find time to write seven books,
my goodness,
you have to find time,
goodness.
You know, and then you can, you know, I can come in, you can come back, and I can interview you about your book. But of course, I'm wondering what you'll do, you know, when you write a book. And then you have to give it to an editor.
Editing is a skill, and I think when it's done well, you're in gratitude for this. I have one example. I'd written a short story which then went on to win a prize, and it was published in a magazine, Virginia Quarterly Review, and the editor was, you know, with the ending, he just helped me see that the ending I had it took too long to get there, and he cut out neatly a paragraph that just before the ending, and suggested a couple of words to splice the ending from, and it was perfect. And I could have bowed down in absolute gratitude, because I was extremely grateful, because I could see what he'd done is to suddenly see a way of tightening that and getting to that ending in a way that I couldn't, you know.
Well, they say a good editor is worth his or her weight in gold. So
it's amazing when it's done well. It is, you know. I think that there should be a very intuitive sense of the work, so that you're actually thinking for the writer. You're helping the writer. You're being the greatest possible ally to the writer, because you've already entered the world of that book. You know. And that's how you can do it. So, you know, once you've got there, you can do it. But you have to be able to get there.
Well, I hope that I understand that we have to wrap it up. But I want to thank you so much, Bina Kamlani, for being on my program today. I insist that you find time to write a book so that you can come back and we can talk about it. Are you there? Or did I lose her? I guess we lost her. Well, I'm going to have to send her an email and ask her to write a book, and so that she can come back. She's, as I said, she's one of the most famous editors in the world, And besides working with Saul Bellow, she's worked with so many other great writers. So I hope that I will be able to have her back. Now, meanwhile, I want to talk about my program on June 30th. I have a really exciting writer coming on. Her name is Jennifer Dornbush, and she is the author of Forensic Speak. So if you have written a mystery and you have written or any kind of crime fiction, you will want to listen to this show. So mark your calendars, because Jennifer is an expert in forensics, and she has written for television programs, and she's a consultant for many crime fiction works. She regularly does seminars, and all of her information how to put in forensic details will really help you. And if you have a particular question, if you're working on a book that involves a crime scene, you want to know about blood and DNA and whatever, she is just great. So do mark your calendars, June 30th, and it's Jennifer Dornbush, the author of Forensic Speak. Okay, and that's about it for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please go to my Facebook page, and I will put on the details about the book fest, the Indie Book Fest in Orlando, and you can get the details there. And do sign up if you're a reader and you want to be on the panel so that you can ask writers questions. Please go to my Facebook page. It's Patsy Gill. And I will have all that information up later today. This is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week. Remember, one of the joys in life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. Just start, perhaps with a blog. Olivier Magnis turned his blog into an international bestseller. You never know, and even if you never find out, at least you have tried. You might not become a beacon for literature like Saul Bellow, but you can be a small twinkling candle that gives comfort and joy. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. Have a great week.